But you're thinking about there's wickedness everywhere. It's all around us. And I tell you what, the only answer is still, there's only one answer, and it's still Jesus Christ. It's still, and that's what we're gonna be in Luke 17, starting in verse 7 today. We're gonna look at a teaching that Jesus was teaching his disciples. We're gonna ask the Lord to bless us today. But Luke 17, 7, Jesus said this: "But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, 'Go and sit down to meat,' and will not rather say unto him, 'Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink?' Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you so much for the freedom that we have today in this nation to worship you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, in this digging into your word today. Lord, that you'd, the Holy Spirit would guide and would fill me with the unction and the Holy, and to help to explain. And Lord, I pray that our ears and our minds would be open in our hearts. And Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Lord, we love you. If there's any lost, I pray they'd get saved today. Any backslider, they'd come back. And Lord, I pray that your name will be lifted up. And in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. Amen. So Jesus is teaching his disciples throughout Luke chapter 17. And he begins, the first thing he teaches them is he starts talking to them about forgiving one another. In fact, seven times a day, if it takes, really, he's not saying to count numbers, but you need to forgive your brother as often as you need to. And we've already been talking about that today, forgiveness. And then he goes on and he talks about faith. You know, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." And he told them, if you just have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could cause that whole tree to be plucked up by the roots and cast into the sea. Basically, he's telling them, hey, you just need to work with the faith you have. It only takes a teeny bit, and Lord can do great things with that. So he gets then to this part right here. In this section, in 7, 8, 9, and 10, he starts to give a little metaphor, and he's talking about the duty of a servant. And you know, one of the things we have to remember is the Bible is set in a certain time period, and things have changed over the years. Things have changed over our lifetimes, but definitely things have changed over thousands of years. So when you get to certain passages like this, sometimes we have to slow down and think about it, because I believe he is trying to show us, Jesus, not just his disciples, but is trying to show us as well, that there is a application, a spiritual application of us being a servant of God. So let's look at this. But if we're going to talk about becoming a servant of God, first you have to become one at the very beginning. And to do that, you have to have your sins forgiven by Jesus Christ. That's how you become a servant of God. But before you can have your sins forgiven, you've got to admit you're a sinner, right? You have to do that first. And it reminds me, I was brought back to remember in Jesus's trial, he's standing before Pilate, and they said it was Passover time, and they had a ritual. Remember, the Romans would allow one prisoner to go free. Do you remember that part of the story? And Pilate had, over and over again, he had talked to Jesus, he had examined him, and he said, "I find no fault in him," right? He said over and over again, Jesus was innocent. So he hoped, I'm going to bring out the tradition, and hopefully they'll choose Jesus to set him free. You remember that? But on the other choice they had was Barabbas that day, and he was sitting on death row. He had started, they called it sedition, basically an uprising against the Roman government, and he had committed a murder. So he's waiting there on death row for it's his turn to pay for his crimes, and he was going to be hung onto the cross. So here you've got Jesus Christ on one hand, Pilate saying, "Will you free this innocent man that I find no fault in, or will you free Barabbas, who's already killed?" Right? And the choice. And we know that the crowd wanted Barabbas over Jesus. And Pilate, being weak, He went with the mob instead of giving true justice. And you think about, every one of us can relate to Barabbas, can't we? Right? Because the Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And we all, the Bible says, we're all born in sin and we commit sin. Both, either way you take it, we're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. So we, like Barabbas, we're all on death row. Until we encountered Jesus Christ, every one of us were waiting to the point that we die and then we'd go to hell for eternity. Oh, but one day, aren't you glad that an innocent man stepped in our place? That cross, the middle one, belonged to Barabbas, but instead he was set free and Jesus paid for the sins, not only of Barabbas, but for the whole world. I like the first part of that, Romans 6:23, is for the wages of sin is death. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He hung on the cross. He bore the shame. He took the penalty that was for us. He was innocent. We were guilty. I'm glad you can sum it up to this. He gave his life for mine, praise God. We belonged there. Barabbas, I don't know if he knew Jesus prior to that day, but I'll guarantee you one thing, his life was changed that day forever because of Jesus Christ. I don't know, some tradition says they may know what happened to him. I don't know for sure if he really ended up following Jesus Christ after that day, but I'll tell you what, the Bible's pretty clear that anyone coming to Jesus Christ will come the same way, and that's through Jesus and his sacrifice and his blood. That's how we become a servant of God today, is having our sins forgiven by Jesus Christ and a relationship with him. But if we're a servant of God, there's two verses I want to look at real quick. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If you are saved today, we belong to Jesus Christ. That he says your body is not your own, but it's bought by what? Not a couple dollars, not a few pieces of silver. It was bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross for our sins. He paid a heavy penalty and a heavy price. His blood was shed so our sins, we could find remission of sins. Remember, we were on death row and he freed us from that. And then Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Because we were bought with a price, because we're servants of God, the Bible says our reasonable service is to give our whole life over to him. Yeah. That's what it says. It's reasonable. That's what he says right there. He's not asking for too much. Remember, we would have died if he didn't set us free and save us for our sins. We're servants of the Lord. Now we can look at our passage in Luke 17:7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? So we have to imagine for a second, a servant working in the field, plowing or feeding cattle all day. You know, that's hard work, both of those jobs. I haven't done them, but I've heard they're hard work, right? Amen? Amen. But you know, serving the Lord is hard work as well. It takes patience. It takes faith. It takes attention to detail and all of these things. And it takes a whole lot of grace from God to be able to do anything from him. It's hard work. But now I want you to imagine this servant working out in the field all day in the hot sun, sweating, now is coming in from the field. And Jesus is asking the question, does the master tell the servant at that point, go and sit down to meat? What he's saying is, go and sit down for dinner. That's the question. Is that what the master would say? Look at verse 8. And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith that I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. This is what the master would say. Now again, we're in the Middle East. We're in their culture. And that's when the Bible, he is teaching his disciples at that point. So we have to go back, not any modern day views of a servant or anything. We have to go back to this time because he's teaching the disciples this metaphor. And in those days, the master would not serve the servant. Does that make sense? The master's not going to serve the servant, but he's expected, the servant's expected to keep serving until the work is done. So what he's saying, Jesus is saying, listen, that servant may have worked hard in the field all day. He would have come in. There's another job to do, and that's bring the master his dinner. In fact, this would have been expected. The servant would not have expected the master to ever serve him, and vice versa. So here he goes, serving yet again. Now remember, what did I just say? What's our reasonable service? To present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. So when we serve the Lord, when we do something for the Lord, remember, because we finish one task, we're not done yet. We're not then switching roles and saying, Lord, you now serve me. No, we go on to the next thing, right? It's our reasonable service. That's what he's saying. We may trade one job for another. You know, the same servant can't plow the field their whole life, their whole time. Their bodies get older and different things. So we may trade one ministry or one job for another. But we're still servants of the Master, Jesus Christ, for all of our lives.
Amen.
As long as you and I live that are saved, we're a servant of the Master. He's the same one. He died in our place. He paid for our sins with his blood. He released us from death row. Let's go on. Verse 9. Doth he thank that servant because he did all the things which that were commanded of him? I trow not. See, today, we're different today, right? If someone, you know, if somebody does something that's a favor for us, we thank them for what they do, right? That's not what he's talking about right here. We don't serve Jesus and then demand that he gives us thanks, right? We give him thanks.
Yeah.
It's that direction. So and this is what he's saying. Or, you know what happens today? Maybe you're not as blunt as you make Jesus give you thanks. Maybe you want the pastor to give you thanks after you do something. Or maybe you want another brother or sister to recognize you when you're serving the Lord. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be serving. That's what Jesus is trying to show them. Are you demanding for thanks? You know what he says at the end? He says, I trow not. He's saying, I think not. I think not. That's what Jesus is saying. And all the things he told us to do that we haven't done, are we asking Jesus to thank us for that? No. Right? And all the things we failed to do? How about this? If we want to expect Jesus to thank us, why don't we add up everything he's done for us and then add up everything we've done for him and think about that?
Ooh.
It's a lot different now, isn't it? Our society, we've taken us to the extreme.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Somebody shows up for work today. They want thanks for that. No, that's your job. Right? Somebody does things that it's what you do. That's what you're supposed to do. Or maybe not just showing up, maybe you did your job today and they want thanks for that. No, that's what you're supposed to do. They're paying you for that. That's the thanks. Me and a friend at work, he says, we say thanks by writing a check, right? That's what he said. Like if there's some kind of litigation or not by thanks, they're saying I'm sorry by writing a check. Really, your employer's saying thanks by writing you a check. They give you money. They're paying for your time. But you know what? Just doing our job isn't thankworthy. Now that doesn't mean Jesus isn't pleased with us when we're faithful. It doesn't mean the master will never commend the servant. But I think we have to remember what relationship we have and remember where we're at. And if you could just sum up the first few verses, it would be this. The servant is expected to serve the master. It's that simple. All right, let's keep going. This is where it gets tricky right here, verse 10. Jesus teaching his disciples, he gets to verse 10, and he starts out the verse. He says, so likewise ye. Uh-oh, buckle your seatbelts because he's about to apply it now. He's gave them the metaphor of the servant coming in from the field, not expecting the master to then serve him. Now he's saying, here we go. This is how we apply it to us. When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. We could just stop right there. We haven't even met that, have we?
Right.
You see what he says? when ye shall have done all those things. Nobody in this room has done everything God's commanded you to do. Not even close. In fact, we have trouble going a day doing everything he's commanded. Aren't you glad he's merciful? Aren't you glad he's loving? Wow. All right. He's commanded us what? To walk by faith, to pray without ceasing, to study to show ourselves approved. He's given us 10 commandments. He's given us different callings. He has a plan for our life. And what do? We respond by being lazy, by giving excuses, or we defy him or rebel against him. We've not always presented our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. So I believe at this point, if you've got any pride left in serving God, you just need to throw it out the door. I think that's what he was trying to get at. You realize that at times, I believe even the disciples were getting to moments of pride saying, Lord, look what we've done. And he's trying to say, you need to flush that right down the toilet. It's done. Get it out of here. All of that. Remember, there's many things he's told us to do that we've never did. There are many times that we've been the lazy servant. But even if we were able to claim what he said, look at the last part. When ye shall have done all those things which are commanded, even if you're foolish enough to say, that's me, look what Jesus says. You say, we are unprofitable servants. Amen. We have done that which was our duty to do. You know, I can compare my service to you, and maybe I've done more. But if I compare what I've done to Jesus Christ, look at all that he's done from us, right? He saved our souls from hell. He bought us with a price with his own blood that he shed for our sins. He created us. We know that from Jeremiah. He created us with a specific plan before he even formed us. He had a plan for our lives. And then you think about, he's given us the faith. He's given us his word. He's given us spiritual gifts. And as we do the things for him, he gives us the grace and strength to do them. If we have any strength in our body physically, it's because he's given us health, so he allows us to even serve him. All of it. Anything we do for him is because it's totally the Lord. Yes. We give our time and energy that he's given us as a gift, all to do something he's already commanded us to do. That, realize this, he could have done himself, or he could have sent an angel to do it. Yeah. He's knocking us down even lower, isn't he? Even lower. When he says we need to call ourselves unprofitable servants, that is like saying our service is worthless. And you're thinking, well, wait a second. No, look at the context that he's saying it in. If he created you, if he saved you, if he gave you the gifts, if he gave you the strength, if he gave you the health, if he gave you the time, if he gave you the boldness, if he gave you his word, and then you actually one day do it, what's he gaining out of it? He did all the work anyway.
Yeah.
We're unprofitable. We're unprofitable. But you know what? It's an honor and a privilege to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, knowing that he did all of those things just so that we would have the opportunity to serve him with our life, knowing that oftentimes we would neglect it, or we would excuse it, or be lazy. What an honor it is that not only would he save us from hell, but he would give us a job to do. He would put us in his plan. He would give us a role and callings and different things. We are blessed today because of that. We get to be a part of his kingdom. That's an honor today. That's a privilege today. Whether we choose to serve him or not, it's a privilege and it's also our duty. But you know what? Now that we got all that in mind, think about what Jesus says in Matthew 25:21. If I've lost you, come back, all right? This is what Jesus said. his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And think about this. One day, all of our earthly duties will be completed. Jesus Christ is either going to call the church home first, or you and I are closing our eyes in death. But one way or another, we are going to stand before the Master, Jesus Christ. We're going to give an account for our servants. We're going to stand before him and tell him what we've done and have not done, which he already knows anyway. And he said unto that one of the servants that was faithful in that passage, he said this. Remember, this servant had been faithful over a few things. It didn't say you've been faithful over all things. Remember, that's the duty, is to do all of it. But even that servant wasn't faithful in everything. Praise God. That gives me hope. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I will make thee a ruler over many things. So see what he does? He takes the few instances of faithfulness and he rewards it multiplied over. That's the God that we serve. It doesn't make sense, right? If you are working a job and maybe you get paid by doing piecemeal things like some of the trades do, and you only do a couple things, you're only getting paid for a couple things. The Lord says you've been faithful in a few things, I'll reward you with many things. That doesn't make sense. What a blessing. What a God. This is Jesus Christ who died for our sins. It's talking to us. What are we? We're unprofitable servants. We're worthless. And he is, we don't deserve any praise at all. But he says, well done. We don't deserve any thanks at all, but he says, well done. We've been faithful over a few things, and there he is rewarding us. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I don't know about you, it's hard for me to even fathom that he would take someone like me and someone like you, full of faults and failures and just outright rebelling against him from time to time. And then he would look at just the few times we were faithful. He would cast out all the rest of our life that we wasted, take the faithfulness and the reward us based on that. What a God. That's amazing that he would save a wretch like us, that he would use a worthless servant like us in his kingdom, and one day reward our partial faithfulness. Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
That's our God. That's our God. Now we go back. What's our duty? Our whole life, a living sacrifice. You're saying, well, Mike, I already know I can't serve him perfectly, so why even try? Remember, who's our master?
Yes.
The one who gave us everything. The one who's not left us alone. The one who's preparing a place for us. The one who loves us. The one who, if we need anything, we can go to him.
Yes,
that's right.
The one who's blessed us with the opportunity to serve him. It's not a drudgery.
Right.
Sometimes Monday morning at work is a drudgery. Amen. Yeah. It's not a drudgery to serve God. It's a privilege.
Amen.
You know what we need to do? We need to realize our place. We're not adding to the kingdom. We're doing our job in the kingdom with what he's given us to do it with. He could have used angels. He could have done it himself. But he has given us the awesome responsibility of taking his very word and taking it out to this world. He's given that to you and I. You realize at a job, sometimes if you prove yourself, you get more and more responsibility. The Lord's done it backwards. I'll give you everything right on day one. Right? He's an amazing God. But remember what he says. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I'm going to ask you this question. Number one, we talked about it at the beginning. Are you a servant of God? The only way you can be his servant is if you're saved. The Bible says if you're not saved, you're a servant of the devil, and you don't even realize it. You're serving him. You need to realize and admit you're lost and come to Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins.
Amen.
So if you're a servant of God, if you've been saved, now you're a servant of God. How's your service? Remember, I said we will stand before Him and give an account. What if that was today? What would the account look like? Would you be ashamed of your service? You know, there's times when He talks about the master traveling to a faraway country and He's always coming back at an unknown time. Does that sound familiar? He left to heaven. He's coming back one day. We don't know the day nor the hour, but He is coming back. What's He talk about? He says, I want to find my servants being faithful.
Amen.
Are you faithful today? If not, you can't change yesterday, but you can change today. You can change tomorrow. How's your service? Remember, we owe it all to Him. Even if you work harder than me, which isn't that hard to do. Even if you're more faithful than me or more faithful than one another, we're not more faithful than He is.
Right.
And He was. I'm going to ask everyone to stand today. What a God.